Hello, Watermarkers. My name is Jeff Feit, and my family's been a part of Watermark Faith Family for over 15 years now. Many of you may not know my voice, but you've likely heard the joyful noise I make as one of the drummers in our Sunday morning gatherings. We've covered quite a bit of ground already in 1 Samuel so far. The earlier chapters set the stage for the events in chapter 7 by detailing Israel's spiritual and political struggles, as well as the rise of key figures like Samuel. Previous chapters highlighted Israel's spiritual decline, the consequences of disobedience, and the need for leadership and renewal, setting the scene for Samuel's role in leading Israel back into a right relationship with God. So let's jump into this, reading 1 Samuel 7, starting with verse 3. And I'm going to read from the Message, which is more readable and understandable for me, and hopefully works for you as well. Then Samuel addressed the house of Israel. If you are truly serious about coming back to God, clean house. Get rid of the foreign gods and fertility goddesses. Ground yourselves firmly in God. Worship Him and Him alone, and He'll save you from Philistine oppression. They did it. They got rid of the gods and goddesses, the images of Baal and Ashtoreth, and gave their exclusive attention and service to God. Next, Samuel said, "Get everyone together by Mizpah, and I'll pray for you." So everyone assembled at Mizpah. They drew water from the wells and poured it out before God in a ritual of cleansing. They fasted all day and prayed, "We have sinned against God." So Samuel prepared the Israelites for holy war there at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel was meeting at Mizpah, the Philistine leaders went on the offensive. Israel got the report and became frightened. Philistines on the move again. They pleaded with Samuel, "Pray with all your might and don't let up. Pray to God, our God, that He'll save us from the boot of the Philistines." Samuel took a young lamb, not yet weaned, and offered it whole as a whole burnt offering to God. He prayed fervently to God, interceding for Israel, and God answered. While Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines came within range to fight Israel. Just then God thundered, a huge thunderclap exploding among the Philistines. They panicked, mass confusion, and scattered before Israel. Israel poured out of Mizpah and gave chase, killing Philistines right and left to a point just beyond Beth Kar. Samuel took a single rock and set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, or Rock of Help, saying, "This marks the place where God helped us." The Philistines learned their lesson and stayed home, no more border crossings. God was hard on the Philistines all through Samuel's lifetime. All the cities from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored. Israel also freed the surrounding countryside from Philistine control, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel gave solid leadership to Israel his entire life. Every year he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah. He gave leadership to Israel in each of these places, but always he would return to Ramah, where he lived, and preside from there. This is where he built an altar to God. To summarize, chapter 7 describes a period of spiritual renewal and military victory for the Israelites under the leadership of Samuel, who was both a prophet and judge. The chapter highlights themes of repentance, divine intervention, and the importance of faithful leadership in guiding a community back to God. So how can we think about applying chapter 7 to us today? I see several lessons and applications. First, repentance and turning back to God. The repentance by the Israelites reminds us to examine our lives for anything that we may have allowed to take priority over our relationship with God and to turn back to Him wholeheartedly. In the modern world, typical examples here are things like money or success. Other areas might be how we adore athletes or music artists. More challenging areas might even be our families. God expects that He will take priority even over good things like our families. Also, the power of prayer and fasting. Samuel's leadership in gathering the people for prayer and fasting underscores the significance of both of these spiritual disciplines. And we can apply this by seeking God earnestly through prayer and fasting, especially when facing personal or community challenges. God's faithfulness and deliverance then follows. Israel's miraculous victory over the Philistines demonstrates God's faithfulness to His people when they rely on Him. This should encourage us to trust in God's power and presence in our own lives, knowing that He's able to deliver us from these kinds of struggles. In my life, though, I'm fairly quick to pray about my struggles. But I rarely think of fasting as a general spiritual discipline or even an action during times of trials like these. I need to explore that more, and maybe you do too. Next, setting memorials of God's help. Samuel setting up the Ebenezer stone as a reminder of God's help serves as an example for us to remember and celebrate God's past faithfulness. I admit that I typically don't think about setting up reminders of God's goodness in my life, but I can certainly see the value in that. The closest I might come is recording something in a journal. But again, I should give this more thought in terms of more tangible remembrances. Finally, leadership and justice. Samuel's role in chapter 7 emphasizes the importance of godly leadership in guiding others towards spiritual growth and community well-being. In my view, this is not just for pastors, although they certainly play a pivotal role, but it's also for all of us as members of the Watermark Faith family. Overall, 1 Samuel 7 encourages us to prioritize our relationship with God, rely on His strength, and lead lives marked by faith and integrity. Now, we can certainly think of 1 Samuel 7 as a turning point for Israel. While the chapter represents a significant turning point for Israel in terms of spiritual renewal and victory over their enemies, it's interesting to me that the nation's history following this event is marked by cycles of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. After the events of 1 Samuel 7, Israel experiences a period of relative peace and stability under Samuel's leadership. However, as the biblical narrative continues, the Israelites eventually demand a king to lead them, desiring to be like other nations. This request leads to the anointing of Saul as the first king of Israel, making a shift from the period of judges to a monarchy. Throughout the reigns of Saul, David, Solomon, and subsequent kings, Israel experiences fluctuating levels of faithfulness to God. Some kings lead the nation in righteousness and devotion to God, while others lead them into idolatry and away from the covenant. This cyclical pattern of repentance, renewal, and relapse is a recurring theme throughout the Old Testament. Overall, while this chapter marks a pivotal moment of repentance and renewal, Israel's journey is complex, with moments of both spiritual fidelity and failure. This complexity reflects the ongoing challenge of maintaining faithfulness and the need for continual renewal and reliance on divine guidance. One more thought, and then I'll wrap this one up. I wonder about the correlation between the collective repentance of Israel at the time of Samuel and the need for collective repentance in our nation today. The concept of collective repentance, as seen in 1 Samuel 7, involves a community or nation acknowledging its wrongdoings, turning away from those behaviors, and seeking renewal and guidance from God. This idea can resonate today in the United States, I think, where collective repentance might be considered in relation to societal issues, moral values, or spiritual renewal. Just as the Israelites experienced a turning point through repentance and a return to foundational values, similar processes can be seen today when communities or nations strive to address systemic issues, foster unity, or seek guidance to overcome challenges. Ultimately, while the context and specifics may be different, the broader principles of acknowledging past mistakes, seeking God's guidance, and striving for positive change can be seen as relevant across different times and cultures. But it only brings true progress and eternal significance if it's driven by seeking God's will, yielding to His will, and being willing to take action to return to His will. So let's wrap up with a short prayer. Dear God, thank you for being a God of second chances and not giving up on us when we get off track. Throughout Scripture, you have shown us that you'll be waiting for us with open arms when we return, and we're so grateful for your grace and mercy. We pray for forgiveness when we get off track today and ask for your clear direction on how to best return to you. Thank you also for our Watermark leaders who serve as our Samuels here at Watermark. We benefit greatly from their godly leadership. We've had some recent changes within our staff. You've already brought one new leader to us, and we know that you'll continue to do that whenever needed. Help us to always seek your will in these key decisions. We pray these things in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you all have a wonderful day.